Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Just for a minute there, I thought it was going to be one of those days where the music didn't play, but it came through for me. So, all right, we're here for the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to go ahead and email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so hopefully you stopped by there yesterday to pick up the new blog that popped up. But, hey, if not, it's still over there, so swing on by and check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are out there on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Did you want to give the people your TikTok account, too, while you're here, or is that just for other uses?
I don't even.
Okay. I was just checking to make sure, you know, you weren't out there doing some crazy, you know, crazy dance videos that we didn't know about. So, all right. Now, you know, I've been, you know, kind of hanging out here by myself the last couple days. And, you know, I've avoided the issue, of course, of getting into everything that's going on because I just don't feel it's my place to talk about it. And I realized why yesterday, Dan, because I really had absolutely no idea that Drew Brees had done anything wrong. You know, I saw his video. I watched his video. I thought it was just someone expressing his opinion on why he didn't like people to kneel down for the national anthem. But, boy, I mean, you know, there were people actually out there calling him a racist, which is probably farther than, you know, as far away from the truth as it comes for, I guess, a white rich male, I guess, to be. You know, he doesn't really fit the profile, but they were, you know, they were so unmerciful with him that he actually, issued an apology. You know, and all I keep thinking to myself is, God, I'm glad I shut up because, I'm nowhere near the caliber of Drew Brees, and people would have just killed me. So, yeah, I just, you know, I know they had a thing about white silence as something or other. Now I'm white, and Dan knows I'm nowhere close to privileged. So you can't really lump me in with that. But I was just shocked. Did you see Breeze's statement, and were you as surprised as I was with the way everybody turned on him?
I honestly didn't even know. But, you know, that's the day and age of the digital world. You know, whatever you said 12 years ago can still be brought up today. So, you know, he put that out there when it first was going down, and you know, and that's where, you know, I'm not going to get too deep into it, but, you know, white silence is equal as to violence is crap, because unless you come out as a white person, which I'm only half of, and I've been subject to all this systematic racism my entire life, you know, you know, if you're white and you don't say exactly what everyone else wants you to hear, guess what? You're a racist. Which, you know, I mean, when you think about it, when the whole Kaepernick thing was going down, and, you know, the last time, I think that's pretty much around the time the BLM movement started. Coincidentally, when did that happen, Big Jack? Can you kind of pinpoint that? Oh, I can. It was oddly during the last presidential election year. So,
yeah.
You know, call me a conspiracy theorist, and then I have my foil hat on, but And I find it oddly coincidental that, you know, because people are coming out and apologizing to Colin Kaepernick and, you know, what I said 4 years ago. And, you know, and it's only white people, because if you don't come out and apologize for what you said, you're a racist. Just like, you know, this upcoming election, if you vote Democrat, you're okay, but if you vote Republican, you're going to probably be made to feel like a racist. So, you know, that's what it's going to come down to. And everyone's put it that it's not about politics, but how come it continues to happen during political seasons?
Yeah, you know, it was like the weird thing, you know, for me is like, you know, whether he was on point or maybe he was just off topic, but I really related to what he said because, you know, he talked about stuff, you know, his grandfather and his father. You know, my grandfather fought in World War One. You know, he was in the Navy in World War One, and I told the story here before where, you know, my father was a cook on a battleship that left port August 5th of, I want to say 1954. I might have my year wrong. And they were headed to the Sea of Japan to get into World War II. And then on August 6th, they dropped a bomb on Hiroshima. And on August 9th, they dropped a bomb on Nagasaki, I believe was the story. Yeah. So, you know, when he was talking about that, I really kind of understood. But, you know, then I saw somebody who really kind of related to it, and, you know, it made sense to them, because I'm thinking now if I brought it up to my grandfather or my father and I told them that people were kneeling, I don't know if they would find it disrespectful to the flag and what they did. So I had a little better understanding today of what people were kind of talking about, and I'm wondering if they jumped on him more because he was just off topic and he wasn't talking about police brutality. You know, because what kind of happened with Kaepernick, and by the way, Dan is still the only one who pointed out that Kaepernick did not kneel till he lost his starting quarterback job. Nobody else has ever pointed that out except for Dan.
So, yeah, I mean, I was off on that. It wasn't exactly the same time, but you know, it was still in the same era.
Yeah, it's close. But, yeah, you know, because, like, when Kaepernick started doing this, the conversation turned very quickly from police brutality into disrespecting the flag and what soldiers did for this country. And, you know, I'm wondering if maybe because we don't have sports, people didn't see it that way now. And instead of the topic changing really quickly, they turned on Breeze. Do you think it's possible? I mean, is that possibly a path he went down?
Yeah, I think that could be part of it. I mean, you know, someone posted a meme about, you know, people were told all the ways they protested were wrong. You know, Beyonce's performance in the halftime show, which I know we talked about for like probably 30 seconds, but I didn't watch the halftime show. So I didn't, you know, it didn't like, regardless of who's performing, I don't care if it's Beyonce or Madonna, I just don't watch it. You know, I have no interest in it. So, I mean, they made their political statement then, you know, it is what it is. I didn't see any problem with it. You know, it's just, like I told my wife, it's confusing. Is this about police brutality or is this about racism? You know, and that's where I think, you know, as being any person in this country, whatever race you are, if you're not, I think everyone's still sitting out here like, well, what the hell is this about? You know, because if you watch all the protests, the civil protests, you know, you've got mixtures of people. But when you see the rioting and looting, and this is not going to be racist, but age demographic racist, I guess you would say. I don't know the term for that. But the one thing I'm noticing is it's all these looters granted, the videos we have, regardless of race, are all young. And, you know, the biggest difference between the youth and people, you know, closer to my age, or, you know, what would you say, closer to 30 plus, is that regardless of race, I think every race is this way, is you don't totally deal with your emotions, and you use your brain as you act on your thoughts more so than just your pure emotion. And, you know, I've seen people that, you know, Target can get their stuff back by, you know, insurance, which, you know, but George can't get his life back. But rioting and burning down, you know, whether it's Target or locally owned businesses that are owned by black people themselves, isn't going to bring him back either. So, you know, at the end of the day with this whole thing, I hear a lot of people just talking about how they feel, and a lot of white people putting out their obligatory statements so that they don't seem like they're racist. And I'm not saying they are. It's just some of it I feel is kind of forced. So how, you know, how genuine is it? But at the end of the day, I hear everyone just voicing their opinion and their emotions, but I haven't heard anyone come up with any sort of solution.
Yeah.
And I think that's, regardless of it's someone putting their emotions, their thoughts out there, all the way up to, you know, the high offices of the country. And everyone brings this back down to the president, but whether it's Trump or, you know, we backtrack to Obama or, you know, whoever the next one's going to be, the president's job is, he can go out and make statements, but he can't really go out and do anything, you know, to change it. It has to be put through a law. You know, things need to be put into writing. And, you know, if it goes through, if it goes as high as federal, which I don't know that you would, because each state has to determine how things are handled, you know, then the president would have the option to, you know, veto or pass it on or whatever. But, you know, again, like I said, I haven't heard any solutions to any problem, because I am myself confused as to, well, what are we protesting? You know, are we protesting racism or treatment by police? Because I do want to add to that, when I really haven't seen any protesting or rioting, especially rioting, for all the people that come from my descent that are locked up in, you know, detention centers along the border and are, you know, dying there, and their kids are being taken away from them. I don't, you know, that's an injustice in itself too, but, you know, where's that protesting? But you want to come back to a solution. So if this is all about police brutality, I think the biggest change that really needs to be made is that the difference between police shooting and a civilian shooting is, if it were you and I who shot somebody, you're white, I'm half white and Mexican, it, you know, if you did your own shooting on your side of town and I did it on my side, guess what happens, Big Jack? We get arrested and we go to jail.
Yeah.
And we're like Jay-Z said, everything goes back to Jay-Z with our show. Isn't that funny? Like Jay-Z said, you know, we're guilty until proven innocent. We're not innocent until proven guilty. You know, I thought this was America, people. We need to just put that out there somewhere. But, you know, so that's the biggest difference, is you and I as civilians, we go out and shoot somebody, whether we kill them or not. Granted, I guess in this situation, if we kneel on somebody and suffocate them to death, which I wish people would just stop showing, you know, I guess it needs to be put out there, but it's just, I don't know. It's just something to watch. You know, I don't like watching it. It's not fun to watch somebody's life get taken, whether it was a police officer who did it or not. I just, it's hard to watch. So if it's easy for you to watch, then you're screwed up. But, you know, like I said, if it, you and I as civilians shot somebody, we would, you know, our houses would be raided, knocked down, you know, doors busted in, the whole nine, and we'd be in jail. Probably until we can make bail, and if we don't, we get denied bail, we'd be in jail till, you know, the proceedings. However, when it comes to officer shootings, what happens to them? Up until recently, all that happened to them was they were put on administrative leave.
Yeah.
You know, so
until
you go on. Yeah, you go out and kill somebody. You know, like it happened here in Chicago. How many years ago was that? I don't remember. But, you know, that cop shot that teenage kid with a knife. What was it, like 13 to 20 sometimes? I don't even remember the crazy number. They shot the shit out of that kid. And that guy didn't go to jail right away. You know, and that's where it sometimes it's like, oh, gangbangers are bad. They have this gang mentality. But cops have the same mentality. When you think about it, and the only difference between them and, you know, go Bloods and Crips, because everyone knows the difference between the cops and the blue and red is the cops have the badge. So, you know, if you and I went out and were on duty in two sides of the town and we each shot somebody and killed them, we might be asked to turn in our gun and our badge, and then we can go home. Until the investigation starts, and God knows how long that'll take, because, you know, they're going to inspect the body cams for 6 years, 6 months, and, you know, I'm not really up on it. I know they're all being charged, but are they being held right now? I don't know. I mean, I know you can't hold them in a regular detention center because they'll probably be killed in prison, but, you know, I mean, you really don't want that. You want them to get their sentencing, and then, you know, so... I mean, when it comes to Minnesota, do I disagree with them rioting and looting? Yeah. Do I totally disagree with them burning down the police station? No. That one, I mean, I think it would have been different if those cops were immediately arrested. They should have been, you know, and I think that's the problem. And I think that's where it starts, that when you're issued a gun and a badge, you're protected. You know, you're protected.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I think that's the biggest change that needs to be made first.
Yeah. Well, you know, that, and, you know, like the biggest complaint I have when it comes to media coverage about this is it wasn't Donald Trump's fault. He didn't kneel on George Floyd and kill him. All right. That was the police officer that did that. He had nothing to do with hiring that guy. I'm sure he doesn't know that guy. He's never met that guy. But somehow, and I don't know why they do this, and I know in the end here it's going to cost Trump the election. There's no way he's going to be able to recover from this. You know, and I don't know why they think Joe Biden is going to be so much better. I don't know what he's proved except that he likes to touch women, which I, you know, I can relate to. But it just kind of makes me laugh when I turn on the media report to see what happens and they start pointing the finger at Donald Trump. You know, and it's like, no, this isn't, you know, and it's like they're trying to, you know, and it's the media, so I get it. They're trying to lead you down a certain path because, let's face it, they all have an agenda.
Yeah.
So, but you did touch on one thing that I wanted to ask you here because I really wanted to get your opinion on this. You know, now, I think it's well-renowned that the New York Knicks owner, James Dolan, is probably the worst owner in all of professional sports. But I found it kind of strange that he took a lot of crap from everybody because he didn't issue a statement to the media immediately on the situation. Apparently what he did was he sent some internal emails to his employees, but the Knicks didn't release anything. Did these people think that him not releasing something meant he condoned what happened? I mean, do they honestly think it's that stupid? And, you know, what I want to know from you, Dan, is do we really need a generic release from every single sports team and every single league, basically not saying anything, but they have to put these things out there? I mean, is this really necessary? I mean, my Twitter feed filled up the other day. I think every single NFL team put out almost the exact same release, And then, of course, when the league put out theirs, they got killed like Dolan because it was like, oh, where were you when Colin Kaepernick was doing this? So,
yeah.
I mean, are these releases necessary? I mean, do people honestly think that, like, James Dolan supports what happens to George Floyd?
Well, no, and that's what I mean with everyone's obligatory comments, posts, stories. You want to talk about it. You know, that's where the genuine, it just doesn't seem genuine.
No, you know, and that's what it kind of got to. I mean, there were so many, you know, just the same thing. And, you know, they're just generic. You know, oh, well, you know, we're sorry this happened. You know, it shouldn't have happened. And, you know, we all get that. I don't need to hear it from, you know, the local team or the local league or whatever. You know, like, I can understand a player doing it, especially a black player. You know, I mean, they want to be involved in this. They want to help out and try to, you know, stop be it racism or police brutality. And let's face it, the majority of police brutality happens against minorities. You know, there isn't a lot of police brutality against white people unless they're what's considered white trash. So I can, you know, I can see the players wanting to be involved in getting their statements out there, but
But the owners, especially
these owners, are the definition of white privilege, aren't they?
Oh,
so.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's my friend posted a video of cops roughing up some teenagers. The kid looked like he was, you know, biracial. He definitely talked with the street slang. But, you know, regardless of his race, I mean, he looked like a white kid with curly hair to me. But, I mean, this cop was just roughing this kid up. And, you know, the other cops made his friend filming it go away. But he kept filming. You know, my friend's like, this is what used to happen to us all the time. And, you know, the difference then, we didn't have cell phones with cameras. You know, we didn't have people videoing. And we just thought this was normal. We didn't know any different. You know, hanging out, growing up in the suburbs, my one friend, you know, we were the two Mexicans. We had a third Mexican. Anything that happened, we were with all white people. We were the only ones who got our IDs taken, ticketed, whatever it was. You know, it wasn't all our friends. And that was, you know, and our it would always crack me up because our white friends would be talking more crap than we would. And vulgar language, you know, calling cops all kinds of names. We didn't say anything, and the world was getting in trouble. You know, so it's just, you know, growing up, I guess it, you know, some people, they don't want to talk about it because it brings up stuff that you remember, and you know, you maybe become emotional. I don't know how I feel, you know, but I think we need to figure out what this whole thing is about. And I'm sorry, if you want to go out there and protest, I could support you. But if you're going to go out there and loot, I don't support you. And, you know, if today, you know, I get gunned down by, you know, six Nazi, neo, whatever, you know, skinheads, don't do anything in my honor. Don't go out there and looting and rioting in my name, because I don't, you know, I wouldn't want that. I can't speak for George Floyd, but, you know, his family came out there and put that out there too, that don't do this in my brother's name, my son's name. So, you know, we have to just first get the issue, and the issue really is the police brutality and their safeguard. You know, it's kind of bullshit, you know, the way they act. If one person, if you, no, not you, if I were to punch a cop, one cop, everyone that's on duty at that moment would be there. I would have 7 to 8 guys on me. You know, for what? Because I punched him? Because he called, you know, because he was wrong? That's the way it is, and that's the first step. And the racism thing, I'm sorry, but we all have to look at ourselves, because I'm biracial, I'm mixed. I have friends that are black mixed with white. You know, and the first thing I've grown up with my entire life was, well, you don't speak Spanish, so you're not really Mexican. That's coming from the Mexican people. And I wasn't, you know, white enough for the white people. So that's where it needs to start. It doesn't need to start with white people need to be nicer to other races and stuff like that. It needs to start from within before we can work on what's outside, you know?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a slippery slope because, you know, obviously, you know, I grew up in the suburbs, so there were very few minorities. And, you know, any time we got, you know, involved with the police, I was the guy they always grabbed because I was the biggest one. And that's what I laughed about. There was a report complaining about, there were some people trying to flag some police officers down to stop some looting. And they complained that when the police got there, they handcuffed everybody. Now, I can tell you from being in a few altercations at the bar, this is procedure. You handcuff everybody because you don't know what's going on. You know, you get to a scene and you don't know. You don't know who could have a weapon. You don't know who started it. You don't know what the situation is. So immediately you handcuff everybody and you try to sort it out. So, you know, again, and this is where it gets to be a slippery slope because you're bringing this up and you're making these police some of these police officers look bad when they're not, and they're just following along with what they need to do. I mean, because you could just imagine, especially in this type, you know, in this time, you know, somebody could, you know, if one of those guys is carrying a knife and he's not handcuffed, you know, there was just a cop, I believe, in New York. A guy snuck up behind him and stabbed him in the neck. So you want to be safe and prepared, and this is one of the things you do. You know, and again, I know this from experience. It's not, you know, the first time that, you know, and even if you're just the guy trying to break up the fight, you're going to get put in handcuffs. And if you're big, you're going to sit in the back of the car because even handcuffed, they want to keep you away from them. So, you know, and that's, again, you know, that's that other thing where I don't think the media is helping with stuff like that, you know, and I know, you know, like the other video I saw that really upset me was there were four, I'm guessing they were younger, but they wanted to loot a store, and the people who owned it were a 62-year-old lady and her 65-year-old husband. And they stood in the doorway to try to stop them, and these four guys beat them up and actually hit them with 2x4s.
Yeah, I saw that one.
You know, we're talking about people who are, you know, in their 60s. And, you know, and it's just like, again, you want to protest, and I'm just like you, man. That's your right as an American. Get out there, protest, try to make your voice be heard. I fully support you for trying to do that and make what you think is a good change. Steal, you know, lighting buildings on fire, lighting cop cars on fire, attacking people, looting. Those are crimes. That's got nothing to do with protesting. So, you know, it's just stuff like, you know, it's the stuff like that that gets to me with all this. And it's terrible. It really is.
Well,
but
not,
on the
not
plus
only
side,
that,
yeah,
I mean,
apparently the coronavirus, right? Because everybody's out together and we don't have any problems.
Yeah, well, you know, because all the testing, you know, and, well, and you forget the media spin, or you know, like our lucky governor who actually invests in everything that you need for coronavirus, especially the testing.
Yeah.
All the testing centers are closed because of all this stuff, so we won't know until afterwards. But if everything's closed for 14 days or more, how will we know? Because it's how long it takes. So, go figure. You know, we couldn't keep them inside for this this virus scare. So we got to find a way to get them all upset again.
Well, yeah, you know. Well, I'm sure, you know, as soon as this kind of fades away, we'll have a second wave of the virus or something, won't we?
Yeah, you know, even though in England they're finding out ibuprofen really helps with it. But, you know, and the other part of it, too, is people, you know, and I'm going to put this out here. I live in the suburbs. I live in a nice, quiet town. I'm not going to say that all my white neighbors are racist or anything, but we've got a lot of people who just can do anything to incite fear. That's why I'm no longer part of any local Facebook group. My wife was telling me about it, and our mayor had to go out in public and post something because people, you know, someone was doing a protest in my town. I'm sure I could, I've got one neighbor, you know, block over, who's a black guy, and, you know, I've never met him because, you know, that's not how everyone is around here. I only know the people I live right next to, but, you know, everyone was inciting all this fear, like, oh, the protests coming, they're going to start looting and rioting in our houses, and nothing happened. It was peaceful.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, like you, I live in the suburbs, but I live in an apartment complex, which is what I would describe as ethnically diverse. You know, that like I live on, technically it's the first floor, but it's upstairs. The two apartments down below me are, you know, there's two Mexican families that live in each, and they're very nice. And above me are two Russian families that, you know, every time I've run into, they're both very nice. You know, there's African Americans who live in our complex, you know, and I've met a couple of them. They live in the building next door to me, and you know, everybody's been nice and polite. There haven't been any issues, and you know, we haven't had a protest. Thankfully, there haven't been any issues. You know, I don't want to deal with any of that. I've got big enough problems as it is. You know, I can't even get off the damn couch without hurting my back. So the last thing I need to deal with is rioting and looting and stuff. But you know, the other question I kind of had for you, did you get to hear about your boy, the J.R. Smith controversy that kind of went down with him?
J.R. He got another contract?
Well, what apparently happened was if somebody attempted to break into or vandalize his car. And apparently, he gave the guy a pretty good ass whooping. And he took a lot of heat from that, and that was something I didn't understand, Dan, because I got to tell you, if somebody's trying to break into my car, I would defend it as well. I mean, it's my car. I need my car. So that was kind of baffling on why they – and luckily, you know, this died down pretty quickly with everything. I mean, it was only a story for about a half a day. But I was really confused on why they jumped all over him about it. I mean, I would be livid if somebody did that to my car, so I didn't blame him at all. But, you know, I know he's not a favorite of the media. You know, I mean, he's not really a negative towards the media, but he's not one of their favorite guys. But, again, you know, I mean, is it wrong to protect what's yours? I mean, how would you feel if somebody you caught somebody vandalizing your car?
Well, you know, and that's—I probably would have did the same thing, and hoping that he doesn't have a gun. And you know, that's something that I've never really thought much of. Let me switch out of here real quick. It's something I never really thought much of, and that is getting a gun. But these times have really. There we go. These times have really made me contemplate it. You know, I'm not against guns. I'm against gun prices.
you can borrow one of Mr. Fantasy.
Yeah, that's a big hike. And then, yeah, you know, if I get in trouble with it, then he'll get in trouble. And, you know, I wouldn't want to bring down the whole house.
Well, yeah, you know, it's. You know, that was just one of those things I'm, you know, after the list. But all right, you know, we ended up half the show talking about this, and I'm dying to get your, you know, since we haven't been able to talk sports in a while. And I have to tell you, Dan, I believe I am officially clinically depressed because we're not going to get a baseball season, are we?
No. No, we're not.
So. You know, cause now, did you, I didn't really look into it once I saw the owners turned it down. Did you look into the players' proposal at all for the 114-game season? Because I'm just literally, I am distraught about this, that I'm not going to get a baseball season. So I can't even deal. Can you help me out? Did you look into any of that crap? And what was this garbage about the owners maybe coming back with a 50-game season? Give me a break.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, we talked about that before. Oddly, it happened at work today. Somebody was calling to negotiate or sent us an email to negotiate. And it just, I was dying laughing because our boss, you know, the head honcho, the one that decides prices, literally responded back and goes, what do they mean by negotiate? I'm like, what do you think they mean by negotiate? Change the price. You know, and of course that's different. But, you know, again, I just am amazed by the lack of, I'm not going to say intelligence, but amazed by the stupidity. The player side, the owner side, the media, between the three, there's a reason it's called negotiation. You know, when I bought my house, I don't remember what the lady was offering. I don't remember what her price was. But I think we offered like $20,000, $30,000 less. Did she accept it? No. Did we think she was going to accept it? No. That's how you negotiate. When I'm on Facebook Marketplace and I see some guy selling some bobblehead for $25, which I'm sorry, jackasses, quit trying to make money off of bobbleheads. Because it just, you know, I'm gonna message him and send him out, give you $5 for that. And he's going to come back with, how about 23? And I'm going to come back with, how about 5? It's called negotiation. You're supposed to lowball the highballer, you know, and then whenever I post anything in here, I'm going to ruin it. I'm posting higher. Lately, I stopped doing that. I've been giving everything away for $5 because nobody's going to try to negotiate you out of $5. You know, that's the whole point, is it's a negotiation. And, I mean, let's be honest. I think the owners put that out there because they knew, number one, I think the owners already know. And from what I understand, there's a group of owners that, you know, haven't come out and said it, but are going to be fine without having a season. Although, you know, screw the Oakland A's. I think it's pretty crappy what they're doing.
Yeah.
Kansas City's still paying their minor leaguers. You know, maybe it's George Brett's salary, but that's a bad joke. But, you know, I mean, I think the owners already knew they weren't going to come to an agreement, so they just threw out the low ball. The players came back with theirs. Then, I mean, let's be honest. From a player standpoint, 114 games, you know that's not possible. Well, it is, but then you've got to go against everything that you've fought for over the last, you know, what, since the 60s? I forgot when that Cardinal guy, I should know my baseball history and that player's name that, you know, won his freedom from the ownership. You know, I thought that was one of the biggest things that was negotiated out with, you know, no more doubleheaders and things like that. 114 games starting on July 4th. How does that work? How many doubleheaders are you imposing on yourself? You know, and then if they did agree to it, I wish they would have. Because then I would love to hear every player bitch and moan on Saturday when it's 9 o'clock and they've been at the ballpark since 7:30. Because, you know, they had a 12 o'clock game that went 12 innings. And now, you know, it's 9:30, 10 o'clock because they tried to get the second game in at 6 o'clock. And they're just getting out of the showers. You know, so I don't think that's going to work. I think, you know, obviously the union, Tony Clark knows that, why he put the highball offer. But I don't know. It's just I'm pretty kind of fed up with, no, I don't want to say fed up with it, but I guess I'm just accepting that there isn't going to be a baseball season. And in my defense, I think that's part of the reason that I've slacked these last couple of days. Well, yesterday I had to leave to pick up my daughter. It was another thing. We finally got her back on babysitting, so it's making life work at home easier. But, you know, I think that's part of the reason I've been, like, just so flaky on even doing our podcast because I'm like, I'm not even thinking about sports. I don't log in to Yahoo Sports anymore or Fantasy. I don't log into the MLB app. I don't check the NBA, NHL. I rarely ever check the NFL to begin with. But you know what I mean? I'm not – the things I used to do, I don't do anymore. And, you know, maybe that's what's heightened everything, you know, with the tension in this country too to begin with. Because what do we have left, Big Jack? All we have left is freaking social media. And the more you spend on it, the more you get crazy because of all the crap you see and all your friends reposting bullshit all day long, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But, you know, I will, even my hat collecting's gone down.
I'm right there with you. You know, I mean, my biggest excitement is when those NASCAR races come around. You know, I am thrilled to be able to turn on whatever and, you know, give myself a NASCAR race to watch. But, you know, other than that, it's like I don't want to. You know, I don't want to deal with this. You know, I mean, the only thing I've been using social media for is to kind of post questions or, you know, try to add a little levity to something that's going on when stuff gets a little too serious. But, you know, I honestly couldn't tell you the last time I logged into the DraftKings site. I don't even know if I remember my password now. You know, if I ever decide to play again, I'm going to need to probably reset it.
That's because you still work on the computer.
Yeah. And it's like it's even proof, you know, like, you know, you sit down to write the, you know, two blogs a week, and I don't know how these guys are churning out daily articles or anything. Of course, I guess they're really not talking about sports, so it's not too big of a deal there. But yeah, I mean, just the dealings with this, and it's like really, you know, I mean, yeah, okay, great, I'll write this. You know, I mean, luckily, at least on, you know, Wednesday, I had the NBA made a decision on coming back. So it gave me, you know, the option to write about something.
Well, and that's honestly where I thought you were going. You know, you ended the you know, what's going on in the country with a J.R. Smith. I thought we were smoothly transitioning into the NBA thing down there at Disney World.
Yeah, well, we can. I mean, you know, that's no problem. What did they I'm a little confused with what they're going to do because they're going to come back and play some regular season games first and then enter the playoff format. Is that what I saw?
I think so. It's, you know, and that's been part of it, Big Jack, is, you know, everything else kind of overshadowing everything, so I kind of missed out on that they even came to something. And I saw that actually earlier today. I was like, oh, great. Well, I actually have something to talk about. But then I forgot to read the article.
But, yeah, it's, you know, it's just been, you know, weird on how they're going to break this down or try to set this up. And I don't know, you know, like I even know I saw today that the NHL made some tweaks to their format and they're going with 24 teams now. And I thought originally it was 22, maybe it was 24 all along, but you know, who knows? But yeah, I'm not going to get excited about NBA basketball in July. You know, that's not going to do it for me.
No, and it's stupid. You know, the one time I want to hear LeBron say something, he's not talking about it. You know, I mean, I guess that's probably one of those things where he really can't come out and say anything because, you know, negotiations and union and stuff like that. But, I mean, somebody in the NBA, one of these players has to, and, you know, maybe it's about the money. you know, if they play this, then they'll get their full dues, you know, all their, the rest of their paychecks or whatever. But I mean, somebody in some of these hotshot guys, you know, the LeBron, Durant, and you know, those guys, somebody's got to come out and be like, this is just freaking stupid. You know, this title doesn't mean crap to me. We're not going to go to the White House anyways if we win.
You know,
so I don't know. I just, it takes out the excitement of it. I mean, I don't have a problem with a 2020 season being expunged, so to speak, without anything in the record books. Because, you know, that would kind of circling back to what you were talking about, you know, all the teams and the leagues are putting out press statements, generic statements, and, you know, the obligatory, we don't condone, blah, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. Read it up yourself. But you want to make a statement, cancel your league because of, number one, the COVID. You're not going to have fans, so the games are not going to be as exciting. I mean, that's the honest part. And then this you know, this issue with the George Floyd thing, I mean, exit out. Put that in your record book. Why did we not continue the season? There was too much turmoil going on in this country, and we wanted to bring it together. Therefore, we've helped start a fund to minimize or, you know, help stop and educate and stop the police brutality. You know, do something like that. Your statement means horseshit unless you're actually doing something. So, you know, to me, that would mean more. I think that would mean more to the players, mean more to the fans, mean more to everybody. Unless, but at the end of the day, what does it come down to? Is the owners and the players want their money.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's, you know, that's always going to, you know, always going to be the bottom line is the fact that they're not going to walk away from that money. There's absolutely no way they're going to go, oh yeah, okay, well let's do this. Not going to happen.
I will say though, kind of moving on to another league, there's only one guy who came up with anything that's worthy of excitement for the NFL season coming up. DeSean Jackson decided, well, he put it out there that if we're not going to have fans in the stands, every player should be mic'd up.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone has to ask me. I think this is awesome. I'm all for it. You've literally changed, you would change the entire scope of professional sports from day one. You know, it would be bigger than Vince McMahon's camera from the XFL that the NFL started using because of NBC, blah, blah, blah. But you know what I mean? This would just revolutionize sports at a whole. And I like the fact that they'd be mic'd up, but keep Joe Buck and the commentators from interviewing them when they're on the field. That's just kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Maybe when they're on the sidelines. But, you know, tell me that this is not a genius idea, and he should get bonus just for coming up with it. Because I'm sure no one else
has
balls to say it.
Yeah, no, you know, it makes great sense. You know, it would be entertaining. I mean, we've seen baseball have success with this. At the All-Star game. So, you know, why wouldn't it go over in football?
Yeah, and then it would make kind of what Vince McMahon was trying to do with the sideline reporter and the touchdown stuff. You know, I think it would make it so viable that, you know, before the commercial break or, you know, right afterwards while, you know, we're waiting for all the slow downtime in the NFL that happens. Just pick a player. I don't even know. Tom Brady just threw a 100-yard pass for Tampa. You know, hey, Tom, how do you feel after that? You know, when he's on the sideline. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that would just – it would take the NFL to another level because I'm sorry. The game is boring to me. And I'm your layman fan, I guess you'd say, or not diehard guy. The game is boring. And this would liven it up. You know, everyone always talks about baseball being boring, but I'm like, The NFL and MLB are right there next to each other. There's a lot of downtime that you could add some entertainment to.
So yeah, it's definitely, you know, and what you would call an interesting idea. So, you know, I don't know, you know, how they would working it out, but it's definitely something they need to look at.
So my odds would be 90-10, and that's them not going for it. Are you kind of in that realm?
Yeah, you know, the NFL isn't exactly what you would call progressive, so I don't think they'll do it. You know, and in reality, the only concern you would have with doing it would be how to monitor the swearing, because you know there's going to be a ton of that.
But yeah, I mean, there's the delays, and I mean, I don't think. You know, how many guys are on the field at one time? Let's just, was it 12 on 22. Each side? Or 22?
Yeah.
Oh, it was 11. I mean, you can't have 22 mics on at the same time.
Right.
I mean, you know, you'd have your audio engineer, you'd probably have to hire a couple more, you know, upstairs to kind of filter that stuff out. But I think it could work. You know, maybe you rough draft it this season and maybe not, you know, put too much out there, but mic everybody up. You know, it's not like the guys, you know it. The quarterback especially, he can't really get tackled anymore. I mean, in 5 years, quarterback's only going to be able to be tagged. You're not going to be able to tackle a quarterback.
I definitely think it would add to the game. So I don't know why they wouldn't be interested in it. Again, you know, you never know with the NFL. It's a difficult league to kind of get a judgment on, because you just really never know which way they're leaning or which way they're looking at stuff. You know, they've always been a little bit of a odd league.
Now, slightly off topic, the one we haven't gotten any emails on, Big Jack, and I don't know how much you're monitoring the sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Shut up, I know it's an older one, but at least it's not an AOL account. We haven't gotten any emails for the Big Three. You know, I usually get all the press stuff and, you know, whatnot. Do you think the thing shut them down? I mean, I haven't even seen a press release or... Granted, I haven't really looked too hard, but, you know, this is the time of year where they're supposed to be starting up, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's close to that time. So, yeah, you do wonder what happened to them. You know, I would probably assume that they're going to skip this season and maybe come back next year. So... I don't know. I haven't heard a thing, haven't seen a thing. And you know, to be honest with you, I wasn't even thinking about them until you brought it up.
And then, you know, you had touched on it for a minute, was it last week? What do you think about the WNBA? Have we heard anything?
Yeah, no, they're another league that hasn't, you know, if they, I, you know, first, I thought for some reason they mentioned something last week about what they might do, but I haven't heard anything. It looks like here, I binged them really quick. They're looking for that one location like the NBA did. You know, and it says here if their season begins. So they're not even really, you know, kind of talking about when their season might begin. So, you know, they, in reality, I think they should just about be wrapped up by now. or getting close to it. So we'll, you know, we'll have to see if they decide to come back or, you know, how they do it. But yeah, they're kind of in that boat where they're just looking for a spot to play and seeing if they can find one.
That's just so crazy. The NHL hasn't announced yet, right? I know they've been talking about Vegas.
Yeah, they've had 8 or 9 sites. Apparently what they're waiting for is the restrictions to be, you know, slowly removed so they can kind of see what city suits them best. You know, obviously, I think Vegas is going to be one of them. You know, that's always kind of been a front runner. And, you know, I think the issue they're having is they would like their second city to be in a different time zone. So it's finding that city now that's in another time zone. Otherwise, you know, you're going to have all these games on top of each other time-wise, and it's going to be difficult to schedule for television.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I know they were interested in Chicago, but I don't think, you know, that's something that's going to happen. You know, I know Minnesota was pushing for it before, you know, all the George Floyd stuff went down. So maybe, you know, maybe they go to, you know, St. Paul, you know, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and give it a shot there.
Yeah, I mean, I laugh at Chicago because, I mean, the city's not in tune with the rest of the state. And I don't know. I just don't think it would work for the NHL.
You know, and I mean, you know, the one thing that, you know, obviously the difficulty is, you know, no fans. Otherwise, I think cities would be, you know, if you could have fans in the stadiums, I think cities would be beating each other up to try to get this in just because of the economic boom. But, you know, the idea with just basically no fans, I mean, obviously it'll inject a little money because you're going to get some revenue for whatever the teams spend on the players' meals and stuff like that. You know, so you'll get a minor bump. But, you know, what may help is I did see, I think they're getting ready to reopen the casinos in Las Vegas. So, you know, that'll help, you know, whatever league it is as well, because you're going to be able to start gambling again. You know, and that's obviously a lifeblood American right to gamble your money.
Yeah, it ruins people's lives and sends them into the crapper, but that's okay.
But we still do it. That's why
well,
you know, you can say that a lot about all things, you know. But it's your choice to do it. You're not forced to do it. So.
Yeah, well, and you're not forced to stay home because of it either.
At one point, I'll tell you something about being married. So, you know.
Yeah. I'm just being a cynic, you know.
But, yeah, it's. You know, and you know that's you know and that's the other tough part about this is we're basically sitting on our hands waiting for somebody to give us the news. You know, and I think that was the you know the big exciting thing about NASCAR was hey we're back. You know, yeah we don't have fans, but you know in NASCAR you don't really miss the fan.
No.
So. You know, I don't know. Well, when the other games are played, if we miss them there.
Yeah, well, you know, the fan, well, unless you're a Blue Jay or White Sox fan, or a Rays fan, you know, that's part of the game for the players. The interaction.
There you go. All right, well, now, we're going to tomorrow, but it's going to be 2 or 3 or 5 o'clock, so...
sportstimeradio.com.